WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our linguist Jeff Nunberg is always listening to America Talking. Here's some of the changes he's noticed since September 11th.
The day Major League Baseball resumed play after the attacks, I was watching the Giants game on TV as Mike Kruko described the replay of a monster homer that Andres Galarraga had hit into the center field bleachers. Boy, he said, he really hit that one good. We're all watching our language these days as we're suddenly made aware of how our speech is pervaded with violent metaphors. Actually, I first put that as shot through with metaphors and then thought better of it. New products have ceased to bomb. Dot-com companies no longer crash and burn, and people are suddenly sheepish about yelling bloody murder when their newspaper's late. You may catch some flack on that. We'll see what happens after the dust clears. I've never heard so many people ending their sentences with "so to speak." It's as if we were trying to purge our speech of any images that might evoke an inadvertent irony, however far-fetched it might be. Advertisers are anxiously scanning their copy for anything that might seem irreverent. Coca-Cola canceled an ad series built around the slogan, "Life Tastes Good," presumably on the theory that such a thought might suggest a lack of solemnity. And after the attacks, program directors at the Clear Channel Radio Network circulated a list of songs that might be inappropriate for airplay. Some of the recommendations were just common sense. It clearly wasn't the moment to be playing AC/DC's Safe in New York City. But a radio listener would have to be pretty sensitive, and pretty imaginative, to be disconcerted by titles like Ruby Tuesday or Ticket to Ride, not to mention the Bangles' Walk Like an Egyptian. That one was racial profiling in every sense of the term. For the moment, at least, we seem to have turned into a nation of scrupulous literalists. Some people see this as the sign of a healthy reevaluation of American priorities. Writing in Time magazine a couple of weeks ago, Roger Rosenblatt proclaimed that the attacks signaled the end of the age of irony. Enough of those intellectuals who hold that nothing is to be believed or taken seriously, the enormity of events makes detachment and distance seem a dangerously empty pose. As Rosenblatt puts it, the ironists, seeing through everything, made it difficult for anybody to see anything. You can hear echoes of that sentiment in the way people have been forswearing the trivialization of language. One reporter told me that she could never again use hero to describe a sports figure after seeing what the New York firemen and the passengers on Flight 93 had done. Some of this newfound circumspection is an honest reaction to the horror of events and the sense of perspective they give us. There's no question the attacks will have some enduring effects on the way we talk. People will be more hesitant to describe every little reversal and contretemps as a tragedy, and it'll be a long time before a Microsoft executive will again accuse a competitor of pursuing a strategy of patent terrorism. But the new circumspection that some commentators are calling for has a depressingly familiar sound. When you think back to the tone of the American press before the attacks, what's embarrassing isn't its excessive levity, but its bogus seriousness. All those cable news shows trying to whip the nation into a weekly frenzy of outrage about oversexed congressmen and overage little leaguers. It's not surprising that a lot of commentators have reacted to the attacks by admonishing everyone about the failure to take life seriously. But Americans aren't about to turn into dour literalists, particularly now. These really are unprecedented times when the president tells us that the most patriotic thing that most of us can do right now is to get on with our normal daily lives, but to be on the alert for terrorists at the mall and anthrax in the mail. It's a demand that leads to an understandable tension and to a certain amount of guilt. But there's a time-honored adaptive strategy for dealing with that kind of dissociation. It's called irony. Think of Brecht and the good soldier Schweik, of Catch-22 and MASH, of war poets from Henry Reed to Randall Jarrell. Irony has always been a natural response to the condition of trying to lead a normal life in ominous times. In a way, irony is the opposite of circumspection. They both begin with a sense of the moral ambiguity of language. But ironists aren't diffident about using words in their banal and frivolous meanings, even as they're aware of the more auspicious meanings that are always hovering in the background. It's a way of seeing things and seeing through them at the same time. This hasn't been a very common mentality in recent years, whatever critics may say. In fact, real irony has become so rare that people like Rosenblatt seem to have forgotten what the word actually means. They confuse irony with cynicism and fatuousness. But listening to all those so-to-speaks and as-it-were's that people are peppering their speech with, I have the sense that we might be entering a new ironic age. In these times, we'd be the better off for it. That thought struck me a couple of weeks after the attacks, when I was lucky enough to be at the Giants game in person on the night that Barry Bonds hit his 71st homer. We all cheered until he came out and took a couple of hero's bows. Not that there was anybody in the park, Bonds included, who weren't conscious of the other, more serious meaning of the word hero. Everybody knew that there was something incongruous about getting so excited about a man who happens to be good at hitting a ball over a fence with a stick. Was that ironic detachment? Sure. But it didn't diminish the immediate thrill.
Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg is author of the new book, The Way We Talk Now, Commentaries on Language and Culture from NPR's Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air.